Good morning. Welcome to the Covenant Church. To be here for worship today. It's so good to be here. And there's always the wonderful fellowship time after the service. And I understand there are four or five of our wonderful sisters in the family here that have baked fresh goods. Ruth Hopkins and Patricia and Lori and Dawn. So thanks for the goodies. You want to just break and go down now? Yeah. All right, a few announcements. Those who have the Operation Christmas Child boxes without the labels are in. They're in the wing here because you can't send it without a label. So make sure you pick those up. Oh, wonderful. Thanks, Peg. Also, and those are due November 14th, there's a movie called Breakthrough. The Christian Ed Board is sponsoring a church movie. I think the youth groups will all go to that. It's on the 14th, 4 o'clock. I think popcorn and drinks, things like that. So plan on coming, and we'll pack out the fellowship hall. Also, next Sunday is All Saints. And we usually have a table right here, and many bring pictures of loved ones that have passed away, you know, long ago or very recent. It's a time to remember, to grieve a bit, but to rejoice that our loved ones are with the Lord. And one day we will all be there too. What a day of rejoicing that'll be. But first, though, don't forget to turn your clocks back. Am I right on that? It's next. Yeah. Next weekend. Thank God for that. It's so dark in the morning. So be sure to turn your clocks back. Well, just a brief word. I mean, hopefully everybody knows, and I mean, you missed with letters and emails. Some don't get those from the church, but I have accepted a call to Elam Park, a retirement community and hospital in Cheshire. If I ever thought of a change in an ideal job, it'd be a chaplain's job. And that, I'm very excited. One of our own, Chip Gill, and his wife Karen, they live at Elam Park. And that's wonderful. Their son-in-law, Brian, is one of the directors there. So it's kind of like a sister home to the place to the covenant. So, but Lisa and I are obviously happy, but there's a lot of emotions. It's very emotional. You know, the church family that we've been part of for, well, at Thanksgiving, it'll be 23 years. And just the love and connections and, you know, it can be missed. And already spoken with a number of you and look forward to more conversations. But God, you know, God might have been saying, well, you know, Pastor Tim, why didn't you leave sooner? You know, I've got somebody in mind. You know, I've got the next person. I don't know about that. I didn't hear that from the Lord, but God already has in mind what the transition is. And God has never forsaken this place and never will. It's wherever we have been in ministry, this has been the best church, family, home, and ministry. So God bless you and thank you. And we begin with number 2, As the Deer. Please stand if you are able.
Oh, Please join me in our call. Sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord, praise his name.
Proclaim his salvation day after day.
Declare his glory among the nations.
His marvelous deeds among all peoples.
Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes.
He comes to judge the earth.
He will judge the world in righteousness
and all else in his faithfulness.
Join in song.
We praise you, Almighty God, our Lord, our Savior, Creator, Redeemer. We praise you with our voices, with our instruments. And may we praise you in all of our actions, activities, all that we do this day and throughout the coming week. It's a new day. It's a new week. And you are here. You are with us. You go before us. We praise you. We need you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you long to fill us, that we would partner with you, Almighty God. So fill us to overflowing. Fill us for this time of worship and fellowship. Come and be with us. For Jesus, you have declared that wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in your midst. So we receive that. And now join us together as one in our worship, in our work and mission, in our lives. Even now, as we pray the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You may be seated.
Our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 44, verses 24, and then chapter 45, to verse 7. says the Lord your Redeemer, who formed you in the womb. I am the Lord who made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens, who by myself spread out the earth, who frustrates the omens of liars and makes fools of diviners, who turns back the wise and makes their knowledge foolish, who confirms the word of his servant and fulfills the prediction of his messengers, who says of Jerusalem, it shall be inhabited, and of the cities of Judah, they shall be rebuilt, and I will raise them up, and I will raise up their ruins. Who says to the deep, be dry, I will dry up your rivers. Who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall carry out all my purpose. And who says of Jerusalem, it shall be rebuilt, and of the temple, your foundation shall be laid. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped, to subdue nations before him and strip kings of their robes, to open doors before him and the gates shall not be closed. I will go before you and level the mountains. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and riches hidden in secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who will call you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen, I call you by your name. I surname you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I arm you, though you do not know me, so that you may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is no one beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make weal and create woe. I, the Lord, do all these things. And our second passage is actually Ezra chapter 1, and that's verses 1 through 11. First year of King Cyrus of Persia, in order that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of King Cyrus of Persia, so that he sent a herald throughout all his kingdom, and also in a writing edict declared, thus says King Cyrus of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of those among you who are of these people, may their God be with them, are now permitted to go up to Jerusalem and Judah and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the Lord who is in Jerusalem, and let all survivors in whatever place they reside be assisted by the people of their place with silver and gold, with goods and with animals, besides freewill offerings for the house of God in Jerusalem. The heads of the families of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites, everyone whose spirit God has stirred, got ready to go up and rebuild the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. All of their neighbors aided them with silver vessels, with gold, with goods, with animals, and with valuable gifts besides all that was freely offered. King Cyrus himself brought out the vessels of the house of the Lord that Nebuchadnezzar had carried away from Jerusalem and placed in the house of his gods. King Cyrus of Persia had them released into the charge of Mithrath, the treasurer, who counted out to Shesbazzar, the prince of Judah. And this was the inventory: gold basins, 30, silver basins, 1,000, knives, 29, gold bowls, 30, other silver bowls, 410, and other vessels, 1,000. The total of the gold and silver vessels was 5,400. All of these Shesbazzar brought up when the exiles were brought up from Babylonia to Jerusalem. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Now and ever shall we worship.
may be seated. Invite the children to come forward. Their time with Janie, Miss Jane.
Yes, me. Good morning, guys. Good to see you here today. You know, I love history. You could just ask the 39-year Bible class, because I subject them to history.
Don't.
So Cyrus was one of our favorite people to have heard about. He actually wasn't a Christian, and he actually didn't believe really in the God of Israel, but God used him in order to get the Jews out of Babylon and back to home and to start building their temple, which took a while too, and we won't get into all that because we could be here till 3. But so God can use anybody and everybody, even kids. So I was thinking, you know, Samuel was a boy who was prayed for. God gave the mom the ability to get pregnant and have a baby, and she said, I will give this child to the Lord. So when Samuel was possibly no older or bigger than you, Landon, he was taken to the temple and left with Eli to be a mentor and to learn everything he had to learn about being a prophet and all that for Israel. So God uses anybody and everybody, kids of all sizes and ages. So I have this for you. It's kids in the Bible. Because you know what? Absolutely every one of us started out as a kid. All of us, itty bitty babies. I know it's hard to believe that even your mom and dads were once itty bitty babies in somebody else's arms when you look at them, you know, telling you what to do. However, at one time they were told what to do. So just keep that in mind. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much that you use each and every one of us for your purposes, for moving us from here to there and everywhere, and for giving us strength to go through our day. We just thank you, Lord, for everything you do for us. We just ask you, Lord, to keep us walking in your word and in your steps. And all God's children said,
amen.
No more voice for us. Let's pray.
Oh, Lord, we praise your name this day. We've come to worship you, who are the God of the heavens. How awesome it is that you bring us together and you see us as one before you, Lord. Help us to hold on to all the images that you have of your people before you. We give you thanks for new life, for Maya and Glenn's new arrival, Evelina Meadows, and for our elderly among us. We have people who are having surgery, recovering from surgery in the midst of all of that. Just lifting each and every one up. Help us, Lord, in the midst of a change. We've kind of been there for a couple of years, but now we really have change to face. But you know what, Lord? You have walked every step with us. You've kept us together. You've held us to be in community. You've helped us to know what to do. So be with each and every one of the leaders as we move forward in all of these little changes going on. You have already gone before us. You've gone before Pastor and Lisa. You go before us as a church, and you do have a plan for our future. That is huge praise for all of us to take comfort in. Help us, too, to encourage one another, to build each other up, and not to step away from doing that, just to be one with you. We also lift up Millie as she recovers from her surgery and Herb and Rogine, and they're here among us. For Ted and Ann as they improve in their health. For Pastor's mom as she's in rehab. And for so many others dealing with certain issues in their lives. Lord, we just thank you that you know every single one of us who's dealing with something, and you are right there with that individual. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
That was amazing. At times, God stirs up the spirit of people, even a worship team, I tell you, and adds to their numbers to do his great work, to do great things for him. Those moments when God stirs up the spirit, and maybe that's been us, it can be exhilarating, like, wow, but it can be disorienting. How am I going to do this? But in those moments, many feel a desire to live differently and discover their full potential of what God has for them. You know, we've seen that change in people. We've seen it in the variety of ages. Someone who shifts from a regular career and goes into full-time ministry or to be a missionary, you know, against all odds and against the wishes of family and well-laid plans. Or how about the teenager who leaves behind childish things to pursue a life's dream. We know some young people that they started really early, fulfilling a dream, and a lot younger than I ever did. So maybe that's some of you sitting here today. Or how about retirees who pour new energy into the Lord's work? Or the widow or widower that finds new love? What a big step and change. And in Christ's church, God's Spirit is ever at work amongst leaders whose spirit has been stirred up by God, coming together and seeing lives and communities transformed. That's what's going to happen. It takes a steadfast spirit. It takes a willing spirit. It takes a broken spirit. That is the posture when God partners with us by his Spirit. Or more so, we partner with him. Think of the Spirit upon Moses and the Israelite elders, gave them wisdom to lead and judge the people. The Spirit transformed Gideon's fear into courage. The Spirit's anointing came upon young King David to be king, and he wouldn't be established as king for years, but he was obedient, he was humble. The Spirit inspired prophets like Isaiah to speak words that comforted and words that challenged. It was the vigor that strengthened the unsteady hearts, the gentle whisper that guided minds to wisdom, and the divine breath of God that stirred the prophets to speak God's word. David said in Psalm 45:1, "My heart is stirred with a noble theme." My heart is stirred with a noble theme. All right, has your spirit been stirred up? It probably did with that last song. I mean, that was amazing. And Trish, you are healing up. Those both hands going there. I know that she is stirred up. But have any of us been stirred up to undertake a noble task, a noble mission? You know, some people have stepped out in new ways in recent days, and it's wonderful. I can see it. God sees it. God has stirred it up. You know, why is it right now in 2021 that there is this stirring up of the spirit and hearts and the lives of people that God is drawing to do God's will, to live according to his ways and to follow his lead? It always happens when God is about to do something miraculous, something unimaginable, but always in accordance with what he has declared. Things of long ago are declared, and God's timeline is set, not just for Israel, but for God's people, for Christ's church. God does not go off his timeline. He's never early and he's never late. He's always on time. So it's a time to turn off every distraction. It's hard. You know, tune out the distractions and tune into what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to Christ's church. And what did John write several times, at least seven times in Revelation? But those who have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Let your spirit be stirred up today. God wants us to partner with him and for his glory, not our glory, for his glory. And Janie set it up well. Good job. God stirred up the spirit of a most unlikely candidate. Someone who didn't believe in God. You said that. The one and only true God. A pagan king, King Cyrus of Persia. It's like, what? Why would God do that? Well, that's what God does. And the main message of Ezra is God uses whomever suits his purpose, and he doesn't ask for our permission. God moves on people that, you know, believe in him or don't believe in him to be working for his glory. And that's how God empowered his chosen people, Israel, to overcome all opposition. You know, they faltered. They led idolatrous lives, and God allowed them to be taken over by the enemy, but then God rallied back And they were successful against all opposition, even against impossible odds. So let's look at Ezra 1:1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. Wow, Jeremiah, what did Jeremiah say? You know, we heard Jessica read from Isaiah. Isaiah had some words, you know, prophesied years before it would happen. What God says he'll do, he will do. Well, Jeremiah 29:10. Wait a minute, Pastor, isn't it Jeremiah 29:11? Yeah, that's right after 10. We know Jeremiah 29:11, or we could, if somebody starts it for us, we could do it. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but plans to give you hope in a future. But what's the verse right before it? Here it is. For thus says the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon. That was for their idolatrous lives. They would be in exile for 70 years. But at the end of it, Jeremiah is saying, at the end of those years, I will visit you, God says, and perform my good word toward you and causing you to return to this place, Jerusalem, the temple. And we heard Isaiah's prophecy about King Cyrus. You know, read all through there, Isaiah 44, 45, and on. It's amazing. This Persian King Cyrus is talked about and mentioned 150 years before he was even born. How would God know that someone named Cyrus would be there? Well, God knows everything. And that he would facilitate this deliverance of the Israelites. Well, here's a little timeline. Isaiah's prophecy, approximately 700 BC. The Assyrians were ruling, and then the Babylonians conquered the Syrians in 626 BC. And then Judah's king Zedekiah rebelled against Babylon, and Jerusalem was destroyed, overcome in 586 BC. And that closed the southern kingdom of Judah. And many Jews were deported into captivity, into exile to Babylon. But then, under King Cyrus, Babylon falls to the Persians. And that was truly miraculous. I know if you were listening to the reading, or I'll bring up some of the other stuff from Isaiah 44, 45, but Babylon was impenetrable. 200-foot-thick walls, 300 feet high. I mean, I don't know the exact, but bars of steel. There's no way they got in. And there's a miraculous story, and you'll have to read about that, how they got in, because God said it was going to happen. It was a miracle that this happened. So in the Old Testament reading, the end of Isaiah 44, verse 26, God says this, I will raise up her ruins again, Jerusalem. It is I who says of Cyrus, he's my shepherd. He's saying, I don't care what you believe, he's my shepherd. He is my shepherd, and he will perform all that I desire. And he declares of Jerusalem, this is God, she will be built, and of the temple your foundation will be laid. In Ezra 3, if you have it open, they repair the altar for their worship. And then right after that, they lay the foundation for the temple. So it's so exciting that this was happening back then. And at 45:1, thus says the Lord to Cyrus, his anointed, whom I have taken by the hand, I will go before you. I will shatter the doors of bronze and cut through their iron bars. I will give you the hoarded treasures of darkness, the hidden wealth of secret places, in order that you may know that it is I who calls you by your name. The end of 4. I have given you a title of honor, though you have not known me. Verse 13, which we did not read, says, I have aroused him, you know, that stirred up his spirit, in righteousness. I will make his way smooth. He will rebuild my city and will let my exiles go free without any payment or reward, says the Lord of hosts. So let's look at the second part of Ezra 1, verse 1. And this is where it says, the Lord stirred up the spirit of King Cyrus of Persia. It was God's timing. 70 years of punishment and discipline for their idolatrous ways was ended. God's promise, his perfect timing, his anointed, who he called by name, his spirit was stirred with God's noble mission. It's a God thing and it's happening. So what did Cyrus do? Well, he was obedient. He sent a proclamation throughout all of his kingdoms, and it was many. He sent word out to the people immediately, and he also wrote it down. He said, "The Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He's appointed me to build him a house in Jerusalem. Whoever there is among you of all his people, may God be with you. Let them go up to Jerusalem and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel, and support them with silver and gold, with goods and cattle, together with a freewill offering for the house of God in Jerusalem." So Cyrus wasn't going to do the work. It was the people of God. He called them out, and they responded as well, as we will see. How many were stirred up? Well, you can read through Ezra 2, and you can do the math. Thousands. Thousands from that proclamation, the word of the Lord, God's anointing upon Cyrus. Thousands were stirred up. Verse 5, first the heads of the households of Judah, you know, tribe of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, everyone whose spirit God had stirred to go up and rebuild the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. And what did others do? Well, they resourced them. Silver, gold, cattle, valuables, a freewill offering. And King Cyrus brought out all the hoarded treasures that were stolen by the Babylonians, everything out of their worship space. They had defiled the temple of the Lord and stole it all, gold and silver. And he said, "These are yours, basically. Have them back. For when you restore the temple, you can return these vessels to their rightful place." It's quite a story, and there's a lot more reading about it and history. Janie loves history. Many of you know a lot of the history. And the rebuilding began. It took some time, maybe 20 plus years. Three different groups went. Ezra's group went, but then Nehemiah, we'll look at Nehemiah next Sunday. But the spirit was stirred up of this chosen king, a pagan king, and the people. And God is still stirring up. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what is God rebuilding and restoring? What does he want to rebuild and what does he want to restore that we can be part of, or maybe that we are part of? Is there anyone whose spirit is stirred up for a noble cause in Christ's mission? I believe so. You know, maybe it starts in places of exile. You know, the Israelites, the children of God, were in exile. And that's when the stirring up took place in the hearts, well, in the spirit and soul of many people. Maybe it starts in those places when God is ready to deliver. God is ready to forgive. God is ready to keep his promises, and the timing has come. And he even released the anointing of his spirit like he did upon Cyrus, upon all his children who are ready to for a change, for coming together for the mission and the work that's ahead. And God had promised them to restore even double all that the enemy had taken away. You know, all those hoarded treasures. He has promised to do that. Including what's listed on the bulletin cover from Deuteronomy. You know, and in the song, "No one's going to steal my joy." But the joy, the peace, the health, and dreams. You know, the enemy tries to disrupt, and he will not be faithful, not when we're trusting God. Let us believe and do what's needed and place ourselves, our own spirit in the hands of God, that we would partner with him. Let a willingness begin today. I was thinking about King David when he had his own midlife crises, an exile of sorts. King David was supposed to be with his armies on the front lines. It was in the spring, but he stayed back. King David stayed back? Didn't go to battle? He didn't go with the army? He didn't go with those who were fighting? He remained home in his palace? And it reveals a disobedience to God. Maybe a laziness, I don't know, an idleness for sure. But hey, it's midlife crisis. I mean, he was probably midlife age. But it left him open to temptation and eventually great sin that we all know about, the sin of David. The season of his life, he took Bathsheba, who was a married woman, and he laid with her and she got pregnant. He had her husband murdered, who was on the front lines where David was supposed to be, but he was back in Jerusalem. His own self-afflicted exile with blood on his hands, God's judgment coming upon him. It took a prophet, Nathan, a word of the Lord, to speak truth into David's life, to call him out, and to set David on the path of repentance and confessing his sin. What did David pray as part of his confession of sin in Psalm 51? We know that Psalm 51 is connected to the sin with Bathsheba and killing of her husband. But how did he respond to God? What was his posture before God? Where did he come to? And that's important for us here today, and actually in the next few weeks. So Psalm 51, 1 through 3, he begins like this. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak. You are blameless when you judge. That's a real genuine, heartfelt confession. Verses 10 through 12 are key for this morning. You know, the posture for this time. David, he prayed, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. So renew a steadfast spirit. Grant me a willing spirit, O God. And verse 17, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, God, you will not despise. That's the posture, I think, that keeps us open, that being stirred up in spirit by God. Coming before the Lord genuinely. You know, what is a steadfast spirit? But steadfast is resolute, unwavering, dedicated, loyal, faithful, trustworthy. David was everything but that in that midlife crisis. But God can and will renew a steadfast spirit within us. What is a willing spirit? Well, it's eager, ready, prepared. You know, God will grant that if we ask him. So how do we come before God to be renewed and stirred up for him, granted a willingness? Well, it's by always confessing our sin. You know, we got to keep that short list, even throughout our day. You know, communion Sundays are wonderful, but that's only once a month. And we'll have a wonderful time to cleanse ourselves next Sunday. But always confessing our sin. Use scripture like Psalm 51. We'll look at Nehemiah 1. That's another prayer of confession on behalf of his people. Another form of prayer of confession. But we need to receive the forgiveness and the release from our burden. And knowing that we are forgiven, it puts us in the place, because if we keep going around thinking that we're not forgiven and God keeps, you know, this guilt upon us. That's not right. We are free when we confess our sins. God is faithful and just to cleanse us and forgive us. But then with David, verse 17, it's realizing it is through sacrifice of himself. He wasn't on the front lines, but he's willing to put himself on the front line for God right now. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, God, you will not despise. And I believe God is calling myself, yourself, all of us to lay ourselves down symbolically on the altar. I mean, I couldn't even kneel down. I would really hurt my knees, but you know what I'm saying? To lay ourselves down symbolically on the altar, realizing we are undone before God. We are a wreck before him, without him, and we're nothing apart from him. David was brought to this place of mercy and forgiveness, to be freed from his sin, to be renewed and restored, and, you know, once again to be King David, maybe in a different way, but to keep ruling as God would have him rule in that time. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart you will not despise. Are we willing to do likewise? As we conclude the service today, yes, we want to get down to the baked goods. You can almost smell them coming up through the stairway. But take all the time you need in the sanctuary and just to allow our spirit to be stirred up by God. And he will do that. And that is when the hand of God will touch our spirit and stir it up for partnership with him. You know, it's no longer asking God to partner with us. He's saying, partner with me. I have a future for you and a plan. And he will fill us with his spirit. Amen. We come to our offering time. And during the last song, be able to come forward with offerings if you have not already. And you can do that. Let us pray. Our sacrifice, our offerings today, we give to you, O God. We begin with our own life. We offer ourselves, our heart and spirit to you. We are your willing servants. Oh, be glorified, O God. Be exalted above the heavens as we give our tithes and our offerings and ourselves. And let your glory be poured out all over the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand together.
Thank you.
now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. The fullness of his peace be upon you. Amen.